REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing.
Cannonball!
Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And the Emmy goes to
Breaking Bad.
Modern Family. Veep.
Homeland.
Schitt's Creek.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Next Best Series podcast, episode 20, where we talk about television here as part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. It is currently 9:04 p.m. on June 7th, 2021. Here to join me for this episode this month, I have Amanda Spears.
Hello.
Michael Schwartz.
Hello, everyone.
And also joining us on the podcast here as a guest from Awards Radar, we have Abe Freitanzer.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Great. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to have you on as well. Abe and I actually have bumped into each other on numerous occasions at screenings and film festivals. And he's been covering some television this past season over at Awards Radar. So I asked the team over there if anybody would like to join us for this episode, because today we're going to be talking about some of our hopeful predictions for the Emmy nominations for this year, which we're not going to go through this category by category. We're going to keep it very free flowing. And I'm very just excited to kind of just talk about certain things that you guys are hoping to see. I mean, obviously there are the givens, the things that we are expecting, but what are the things that, you know, would make you the happiest to see on nomination morning? But before we get to any of that, I first want to start us off with what everyone's been watching, of course, at home over these last few weeks. It's the last time we were here on the show. Abe, I would like to start off with you, since you're the guest here. Is there anything that you've been watching that you're particularly fond of? What kind of a television watcher are you? And maybe you could talk a little bit about the coverage that you've been doing over the past couple of months.
Absolutely. Thank you. I would say I'm a very involved TV watcher. I try to watch every single pilot that airs, which is quite an undertaking. And especially now with so many networks and streaming services and all that, there's so much. And I've been able to interview a number of Emmy contenders and other new series stars over the past few months for Awards Radar, including costume designers, casting directors, cinematographers, and just really learning a lot about the different elements of all these series and what goes into them that I wouldn't necessarily have thought, even from watching whatever it is, 400 pilots in the past 2 years, something crazy like that.
Now, do you decide after watching a particular pilot, I'm going to watch the rest of this show, or are you so knee deep in pilots that you don't even have time to finish a show?
It's a good question. I think I try to stick with it, but there are definitely some shows. I was going to mention We Are Lady Parts, which I liked a lot in Peacock. I thought the first episode was great, but I didn't continue watching more of it. I'm not sure if I'm going to get around to it. There's a lot of stuff that I mark as sort of, this was good, and I'd be happy to keep going. But there's just so much on that unless it really, really grabs me. And especially if I have time, all these things that premiere just all at once, it's difficult to just to go in and really, really get into them unless you have time to space it out a little bit more. I'm not much of a binge watcher of any one particular show, more like show after show after show after show.
I'm fascinated by this because I get asked a lot of the time, hey, Matt, how come Next Best Picture doesn't cover more television? You know, we have this monthly podcast that we do here, but, you know, there are people that would like to see more. And, you know, first of all, despite popular belief, I am a human being and I do have limitations.
What?
But besides that, I do feel that in order to cover television well the way that you guys are currently doing over at Awards Radar, you really need to have a dedicated team to do it, because it's even bigger than the film world.
Yeah.
I mean, just the amount of networks and shows, like you mentioned before, I don't even know how in God's name I could keep up with that and film at the same time. So, you know, it's a real beast in its own right. All right. Well, I really, really appreciate you, diving a little into that there. Is there anything else in particular over the last couple of weeks that you've been watching that, you know, struck a chord with you?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've been watching the most of is In Treatment, because there are just so many episodes. With 4 episodes per week, I'm trying to, you know, get a little bit ahead as much as I can. And that's been very interesting. But the 2 returning shows that I'm most excited about that I wish more people were talking about are Why Women Kill, which is now on Paramount Plus, and Trying on Apple TV Plus. And the new series that's really, really impressing me most is Hacks with Jean Smart. It's really, really wonderful.
Which I'm sure that we'll talk about here in just a moment. So that actually provides a pretty good segue here over to Amanda. Amanda, what have you been catching up with over the last couple of weeks?
Ditto on Hacks. I really do hope final episode we get to like see the full act that they've been writing. Like, I want to see the whole, at least 10 minutes worth of Jean Smart doing comedy stand up. But yeah, I have been blown away by that show. I thought 1.69 million was the most timely half hour of television I've seen in a while. Oh, I loved her. And then I've been watching In Treatment, which I do not recommend binge watching. And that's just because of the subject matter. It's like, geez, I do think Uzo looks a little uncomfortable. I don't know. That just was my takeaway. I'm like, that orange chair does not look as comfortable as she wants you to believe it. This is the first time we're seeing her kind of more as like Uzo Aduba. We're not seeing this like crazy eyes, Shirley Chisholm. She can't really hide behind a character and a ton of makeup or a weird hairstyle like Crazy Eyes had. So it's been interesting. That show did decently at the Emmys the first few seasons. So that's what I've been catching up on. I finished Genius.
Oh,
Aretha Franklin.
How did that go this year?
Let me just put it this way. The next time somebody wants to bitch about Bohemian Rhapsody, that movie is 2 hours and like 20 minutes. This is 10 hours. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I had to bail out of that one. Oh, it was, I watched the first 3. I think she is supremely talented, Cynthia Erivo, but I think she was really miscast as Aretha Franklin here.
Yeah, I mean, they really left the door wide open for J-Hud.
Jennifer Hudson looks really great in the trailer for Respect, so I think we're going to see a lot of comparisons going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be inevitable, but the fact that this is like a nightmare is not going to help her out.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Well, you know, there have been times where we thought that a superior portrayal on television would hurt a film portrayal, you know, so the inverse. I'm thinking of something like John Lithgow playing Winston Churchill on The Crown. That didn't seem to hurt Gary Oldman with Darkest Hour. So in a way, what Cynthia Erivo is doing here could also, you know, help Jennifer Hudson. I fail to see how it would hurt her.
No. I mean, I think the difference between like The Darkest Hour, where you have Gary Oldman and John Lithgow, is they each gave excellent performances and really well-written projects. This is not that.
No, I understand that, but I'm just wondering how that impacts Jennifer Hudson then.
She has everything to gain, because there's not going to be no one's going to really want to spend the time to compare the two.
Right. No, no. So that helps her. That doesn't hurt her then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to help her. She's going to get
a lot. Oh, okay. I thought the argument was that it was going to hurt her.
No. She's definitely helped by the fact that this wasn't like this insightful, really well done 10-hour limited series about her. It was really like, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And then somebody told me that Justin Theroux, like in The Leftovers, wore sweatpants. If you remember that scene from The Leftovers season 1, episode 9.
I don't know how you could forget.
Yeah. Well, so I ended up finishing The Mosquito Coast, and I would like to say that is not the case. So one of my friends I am very pissed at.
I also seem to recall we talked about that in a previous episode, and I was not that kind to it. I'm surprised that you stuck with it.
I stuck with it because somebody told me I was going to see Justin Theroux in sweatpants again.
Well, the things we do for the time we spend on television.
Yeah, so there's just so many unanswered questions.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a letdown of a show for me in many ways.
Yeah, and then I'm still watching The Handmaid's Tale.
Which, man, I'm telling you, that show, it's crazy because the people who are watching it, I feel like they're reacting to it on a weekly basis when new episodes drop. Like, it's the greatest show, like, ever. The reactions are phenomenal. But I feel like it's a small group of people and not many people are watching it anymore.
I just like the character so much, and I love the book so much. I don't know why I can't quit it. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Do you want to?
I mean, at this point, I don't think they're going to go past 5 or 6 seasons, so I might just, you know...
Write it out. Yeah.
Yeah, they've done 13 the last 2 seasons, so I was hoping that in a condensed 10, it would get a little sharper. But there's a lot of unanswered questions as far as what's going on. And I'm guessing, because we're at episode 8 right now, that 9 and 10 are going to be like 11, 12, and 13 for season 2 and 3, where you're like, now we're cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's usually the trend for television like this, too.
Well, it's been the trend. They've had like 1 or 2 decent moments, and then the final 3 episodes are where everything is like finally put together. They've been stumbling around. We talked about it last time, but ugh. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, they really need to come up with a better season.
New ideas?
And they need to figure out how to wrap it up, I think, at this point. I don't think this should go 8 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Are they planning for 8 seasons?
I don't know, but I'm just pulling like a huge number out. Like 8, 10 seasons, this isn't going to happen. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to get canceled because I do think that those who love it really do love it. And it is a flagship show for Hulu. Still, so I think whatever it ends up being, they're probably going to see it through to the end, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
My biggest problem with that show has always just been I felt like it was too repetitive in its themes, and I never felt like the story was moving along quick enough. Pacing, ultimately, at the end of the day, was my issue.
It's moving a little bit more this season, but it doesn't seem like they know what to do with the characters. Right.
Like, where are we going?
Yeah.
Michael, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been continuing with a few shows that we talked about in the last episode. High School Musical, the musical, the series is still going strong.
Is it now?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, it is a sensation, yeah. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo came out with Sour a few weeks ago, and she's like poised to be the next Taylor Swift. It is really something else, so that's a really fun show. Another fun show is Girls 5 Eva on Peacock, which I'm still working my way through. Really funny stuff there. Highly recommended if you're a fan of 30 Rock and the other Tina Fey shows. Pose wrapped up last night as we're recording this.
Yep.
What a beautiful season that was. It was only 6 episodes, I believe, but everybody got their moment. It was a great way to wrap up the series. Very emotional, very cathartic. And we'll be talking about that when we talk about some potential Emmy contenders, because I think everyone deserves to be recognized this year. It was really great.
I wish they could have gotten a little bit more than just the 6 episodes, but I agree with you that it, I remember when The Leftovers only got... I think it was 8 episodes compared to 10 or something along those lines. It was less episodes, bottom line. And they were still able to wrap things up so beautifully and so succinctly. And I felt like Pose was able to do a similar thing, too. And I think just like selfishly, I wanted more. But I was really impressed with how they were able to still pull it all together in the end.
I think sometimes the less episodes, almost the better, because it forces them to wrap it up in a way that they're not like... wasting an episode or something.
Right. They're not doing The Handmaid's Tale. They're just telling the story they want to tell and getting out of there. And it worked very well.
Hey, everyone. Sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of episode 20 of the Next Best Series podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. If you want to get the full episode, you will have to head on over to Patreon for Next Best Picture, where for $1 minimum a month, you will get the rest of this episode and other exclusive podcast content from us as well. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and if you want to subscribe to us, you can do so anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.